Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 25th, 2017. On ProWrestling.net today, my full review of last night's WWE Raw, my WWE Raw hit list, the updated WWE payback lineup, and coming up after the break for non-members, we will discuss Impact Wrestling's Eddie Edwards undergoing surgery. We'll look ahead to tonight's SmackDown and 205 Live, and I'll have some thoughts on Monday's Raw. A few business items to get out of the way here. ProWrestling.net Live returning on Monday, 3 Central, 4 Eastern, pwaudio.net. That'll take you right to our blog talk address. And we will be taking, we'll be taking your phone calls coming out of WWE Payback pay-per-view on Monday, just hours before Raw. Will Pruitt, I'm waiting to hear back from him to see if he can co-host the show. I will do my best to have a co-host one way or another, so hopefully it will be a we rather than I taking your calls. But either way, looking forward to it. Remember, we are live the Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events, and definitely looking forward to talking pro wrestling with you guys again on Monday. Also, I will be on the PW Torch livecast tomorrow at noon Central on Wednesday, easy for me to say. Wade Keller and I will be taking your phone calls, pwtorchlivecast.com. And also, I received a very nice phone call from Jim Ross this morning. It was good to talk with him. We've exchanged some messages and such since the passing of his wife, Jan, but it was nice to hear from him today. And he was kind enough to invite me to appear on the Ross Report podcast next week. We'll be talking the Payback show, I know that. And also, he will have an interview with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, on that same episode. That'll drop a week from tonight, next Tuesday night. Look for that. Real quick, it was, I mentioned that talking with Jim for the first time. Given the circumstances, I mean, he's upbeat. He seemed like he was doing well as someone could be in that position. We talked a little football. It wasn't just all business. And it was just, he seems like he's handling things as well as humanly possible and certainly trying to stay busy both with work and some sports activities and things that he's into. But it's definitely, it's always a thrill when JR is kind enough to invite me on his show. And it's one of those drop what you're doing and just say yes type of things. And I definitely look forward to getting back on with JR next week. With the business out of the way, let's talk about Eddie Edwards, the former Impact Wrestling champion. He is scheduled to undergo surgery this week, and I talked to somebody familiar with the situation. They describe it as a minor surgery, and he is going to miss some dates. I mean, it's a surgery, but it doesn't sound like he'll be out too long. My guess would be it's more along the lines of what Seth Rollins just went through. I don't know the specific nature of the injury, but I think it's more a case of several weeks. It's certainly more than a case of this being like a full-on ACL repair, which can be, where he could be out for a full year or something like that. So I don't know what his status is. I know he's missing some indie dates. I don't know what his status is for upcoming Impact Wrestling tapings. They just finished the most recent, so I don't know if it's a case where he could be ready in time for the next batch or if he's going to have to miss those. But the good news, obviously, is that it was described as a minor surgery. Impact can't afford to lose this guy. His program with Davey Richards right now is really, I would say, the most entertaining aspect of the shows that they have their matches on. They stand out. Impact kind of missing that right now. Those just slam dunk good matches. When you see those two guys advertised to go against one another, you can pretty much count on it being a gem. And so definitely best of luck to him. If you guys missed it, he was my guest last week at this time. You can go back at pwaudio.net and find my interview with Eddie Edwards. He was on courtesy of Impact Wrestling to promote last week's live show. And we talked about all sorts of things. I really enjoyed the conversation with Eddie. SmackDown is in Des Moines, Iowa tonight at Wells Fargo Arena. The only advertised match as I record this is Naomi against Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's Championship. In the commercials last night, they made a bigger fuss over Shinsuke Nakamura opening tonight's show, or as they like to say, the artist known as Shinsuke Nakamura. He'll be opening the show. They did question what his message was going to be for the WWE Universe, so it doesn't look like this is going to be a night where he debuts. I mean, I guess the announcement could be at the top of the show. Yeah, I'm wrestling later on tonight. But I think they're kind of dragging that out a little bit. But I think it's cool that they're, you know, putting him in the opening segment, making a big deal out of that. It obviously shows they have big plans for Shinsuke Nakamura. You can join Jake Barnett for live coverage of SmackDown tonight as that show airs on USA Network, 7 Central, 8 Eastern time. And then I'll be by on Wednesday afternoon with my WWE SmackDown hit list. The members will hear my audio review a little bit later on tonight. The WWE 205 Live main event is Neville against Jack Gallagher in a non-title match. There was a segment on Raw last night where Austin Aries made some type of pitch to Kurt Angle about, I think, the main event, but it was just some pitch for this particular edition of 205 Live. Angle just said he would take it under advisement, seemed to like the idea, so I assume it has something to do with Aries getting involved and being involved somehow in this match. I'm going to be special referee or exactly what it will be, but the reason I suspect that is because, of course, Neville and Aries have their big rematch, their title match coming up at Payback. And so either way, you can join Zach Zimmerman for live coverage of 205 Live as that show streams on the network right after SmackDown. So be sure to join Zach at ProWrestling.net, 9 Central. The new match added to Sunday's WWE Payback lineup is Enzo Amore and Big Cass facing Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. That's a kickoff show match. We also found out that there will be a Miz TV segment with The Miz interviewing Finn Balor on that kickoff show. I will have live coverage of Payback on Sunday, starting with the kickoff show, the needlessly long kickoff show, as I like to say, at 6 Central, 7 Eastern time. And then .NET members will be hearing an exclusive audio review. Jake Barnett and I get together after WWE pay-per-view events, and we will be reviewing this show in audio form. The members are currently listening to my 42-minute review of last night's WWE Raw. That show was available to them on Monday evening. They're also listening to my 55-minute Q&A audio show from Monday afternoon. If you are interested in membership, you can hear all of our audio content that we've ever done. It's all right there available to you guys on the ad-free version of the website. All you have to do is visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Click into the sign-up area, find those three different pricing options. $7.50 for 1 month. That's the starter right there. You want to commit, you're going to save yourself some money. 6 months will knock some off that price tag. You go all the way to the annual option, you're saving yourselves $2 per month. It works out to $5.50 per month on average. So it's a hell of a deal. If you have any questions on any of this, of course, hit me up on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet, or shoot me an email, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Normally, I would be reading you guys my WWE Raw hit list on Tuesdays, but I'm kind of up against the clock with an interview that's scheduled for tomorrow. Michael Kingston of Headlocks Comics will be joining me. He is the main guy. If you enjoy the Headlock Comics, he's the guy, and we will be talking with him about that project, his Kickstarter, working with several big names that you'll certainly know. So looking forward to that. But with that in mind, I do got to kind of skip ahead. I will encourage you to read my WWE Raw hit list on the main page at ProWrestling.net, and I'll kind of go into some of my bonus thoughts on the show as I normally do on Monday after reading the hit list. But I guess the big question right now that I have, and I know many others do, and somebody pointed out to me on Twitter today, is the main event of Payback for the WWE Championship or not? The Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, House of Horrors match. And it seemed that way when the match was advertised. I mean, in the storyline world, Bray Wyatt would have a rematch clause. But for whatever reason, it just seems like they stopped mentioning the WWE Championship as part of the hype for the match. They're not even teasing the possibility of Bray Wyatt bringing the championship to Raw or what would happen if he were to win it. I don't even care if it's a non-title match. I mean, normally I would, but I just care so little about this hocus-pocus feud. But it would be nice if they took the time to explain it either way. Now, for what it's worth, the official preview on the WWE website makes no mention of the WWE Championship. Really, I mean, the only thing we've learned about House of Horrors is that the match is going to start inside the House of Horrors, apparently, and somehow end in the ring. I gotta admit, I'm a little more optimistic that House of Horrors, that part of it, could be fun, because obviously it's going to be a pre-taped thing, not some... I mean, I had no idea what this was. Like, is this some weird WCW contraption cage gimmick? Or, you know, it's nothing like that. So I assume they're going to film away from the venue and then somehow work their way into the venue. I don't know how that's going to happen. I mean, it may just be more hocus-pocus nonsense like we've been seeing all along in this feud. That's been really bad. I'm hoping it's just more of a brawl in a cool setting, something like that. But I guess we'll find out together on Sunday. I'm also curious, why is Dean Ambrose the odd man out of the Payback lineup? At least thus far, the wrestlers have been working live events for the previous brand. So like in Ambrose's case, he just moved over from SmackDown. He's been working the SmackDown brand shows. It's been that way since the shakeup. And I thought, well, is there a SmackDown show on Sunday? There's not. It was like, you knew Randy Orton would be working this, and Kevin Owens is working the Payback show. They're both on the SmackDown brand. But so I thought, well, I guess the idea was that, well, maybe Ambrose, they need him to headline that show, but there's no SmackDown show. There's no live event on Sunday for that brand. And they can obviously add him to the show in some capacity. There's no reason they can't. But it is kind of odd that they didn't go with Ambrose and Miz on this show when you consider that they've been building to it, it would seem. And then last night's Raw show, they were basically unable to deliver quality hype for several of the top matches. They didn't have access to Roman Reigns, which is understandable. Randy Orton was, I assume, working the SmackDown house show. Same with Kevin Owens. I thought we'd get Ambrose and Miz on this show just because, well, you could actually promote it with those two in the ring. I mean, they were in the ring together last night. They had an opening segment together. So they had plenty of time to heat this up if they wanted to, but it never happened. So instead, we're getting Miz hosting an interview segment with Finn Balor while Ambrose just remains unadvertised for the show. I'm not quite sure I get it. I mean, I know it's just kind of a unique circumstances. I guess I would have pulled someone from the SmackDown side last night. Yeah, it'd be disappointing for the people who paid money. I mean, I don't know if I make it Randy Orton necessarily, but either Orton or Kevin Owens, and get them on the Raw show to deliver more in-person hype. I mean, Chris Jericho, they were able to plug Jericho and Owens, but we never heard from Kevin Owens. It was just Jericho, who was kind of busy doing other things with Miz and Dean Ambrose. So there just wasn't that good, strong hype. I didn't think it was an effective go-home show. I understand some of the reasons why, some of the limitations they had, but it doesn't change the fact that it just wasn't an effective go-home show. I did enjoy the way they used Kurt Angle as the general manager. He's, like, at Monday, it was mostly kind of short bursts with him backstage, and he did have one brief appearance in front of the live crowd, and I think that's good. I still remember going to the last time SmackDown was in town. My girlfriend and I went to the show, and she was disappointed because they would show, I think it was Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan on the big screen. And I know we didn't see Daniel Bryan, and I'm guessing it may have been Shane too. I don't remember, but I know she was disappointed that we didn't see at least Daniel Bryan in person, like come out and make an appearance in front of the crowd. So I think, you know, it's good to do that for the live crowd, even if it's just a dark segment. I mean, they don't have to have, if they don't have anything good for Kurt Angle, I mean, they don't have to script him to come out there, but he can at least come out and wave high during one of those long, boring commercial breaks that we get when you go to, especially a Raw show, the 3 hours, it just feels like it takes forever. But, you know, in this case, you know, one of his segments had some light humor, but otherwise it was pretty much straightforward, you know, and I like that. Coming out of that first appearance that he had the night after WrestleMania, I was kind of worried, like, oh no, is it going to be all comedy all the time for Kurt? And some of that can be fun, but I think they're finding a good balance. And I can't say I'm missing Stephanie McMahon even a little bit at this point. Nothing against her. She's a good talker. That character has just been overexposed. And so I'm hoping we're going to get a nice, long absence. I know some of you are like, how about a permanent one? Yeah, well, I'm not holding my breath there. How many of you guys were hoping that Finn Balor last night was going to turn on the six-man tag partners that he had and end up aligning himself with Samoa Joe and his old Bullet Club running mates, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows? Now, that would have been a hell of a faction. Did it cross my mind when he came out? It's like, well, there he is. He's going to work with the old stable. Yeah, a little bit, but I mean, realistically, I think all hope ended the moment he tagged in and started throwing punches at Gallows. But you know, it's kind of a fun fantasy booking scenario for fans. But I just think WWE looks at Finn Balor and they see major babyface marketing potential with him and that demon character. And it doesn't mean that we'll never see Finn Balor turn heel, but I think right now they want to give an honest effort to getting him over as a babyface. So I can't say that I was all that surprised that we didn't get a big Finn Balor heel turn out of nowhere last night. Finally today, do you want to help us spread the word about this podcast and ProWrestling.net? Don't say no. Shame on you. That's terrible. Take a moment. Subscribe to our podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. That is very helpful when you take the time to do that. For that matter, when I put out the link to the podcast on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet, a big retweet is always appreciated. I really do thank all of you who have done one or more of those things. Anytime you do it, you're helping spread the word about this podcast, and you have my gratitude. That will do it for today, though. Again, I'll be back on Wednesday with an interview with Michael Kingston of Headlock Comics.